Hi, Chris.
Hi, how's it going?
Welcome to Deep Dive into Water Safety, which is our second episode of a podcast that we're beginning on KKCR, because we know that water safety is a priority and should be for the state. We have in the studio guests. We have Harper.
Harper, can you see?
And we have Wilson. So we have young children and dogs. Can you say hi, Harper?
Hello.
Nope.
That's okay. We got everybody today. So we're really pleased to have you. We've been focused on the 2025 Hawaii Water Safety Plan. And in that, they talk about all the statistics that we all know. And the Civil Beat just came out with an article yesterday that says that really half of the 800 ocean drownings in Hawaii over the past decade involved local residents, not tourists. So that's a big piece of information. What we also know from the plan is there's recommendations to do more information in the state about water safety. And so that's why we started this show. And also they highlighted, even though we have this drowning statistics, which are alarming, we have very, as they call, rock star guards and ocean safety. So that's why we have you on today, Chris, because everybody, our listeners, want to know what lifeguards have to say, because they're doing it every day to protect us in the ocean. Before we start, I kind of looked up what you've done, Chris.
Uh-oh.
And so I just want to just briefly just say something before I ask you how long have you been doing it. So what I found out is Chris Pico is an experienced Ocean Safety Officer 2 based at Hanalei Pavilion in North Shore of Kauai. He is known for his heroic rescues, technological advocacy, and commitment to community water safety education. And then there's lists of all the rescues you've done since you've been a guard.
Wow.
Can we start by asking you, how long have you been a guard? And why did you become a guard? And what continues to motivate you?
I've been lifeguarding since I was 20. I started in San Diego, worked for the city and county for about 2 years. I was a seasonal down there.
Yeah.
Feel like it gave me the foundation that I have now. It's just a lot of the basics in lifeguarding. You know, you're engaging people. You're always watching the water. It's not that I'm not paying attention to you. It's just that I'm scanning.
Right.
You know, I hate going to the beach on my day off. My wife is like, you're taking me surfing once. It's like, you can't turn it off. It's like Pat Durkin, you know, I took a class 100 years ago, Dane and I, when we were like 16, I think. And, you know, he was just like, yeah, when you guys take this class, things are not going to be the same. And it's just something that you can't turn off. You know, so my days off, I'm going to surfing more with her, but I'll go hiking, avoid people.
How long have you been in Kauai?
I was born on Oahu, and we moved here when I was two. And I just made 24 years full-time for the city and county of Kauai. I've been in it for a little while.
So what motivates you to continue to be a guard? That's a 24 years of a career of risking your life to help us, protect us.
I like the impact, the positive impact that we have. You know, every day we have this opportunity to make a difference. You know, it could be small. It could be just a, you know, engage with people. Everyone's dealing with something that we probably don't know about. You know, the simple act of kindness, I think it goes a long way, you know. So whether it's saying hi and, you know, how's it going, or educating them about a rip current, you know, or doing those rescues, you know, the rescues are, they're fun. They're a lot of fun. You know, they're, you know, the scary ones are, you know, the ones you walk away from. You're like, oh, I can't believe I just, you know, we pulled that off. Or the North Shore of Kauai, and I think most of the islands, is a really dynamic environment. Up here, the geographically, how the conditions change, you know, the flooding, the big surf. We deal with a lot of different environments, you know, not just the ocean. You know, we've done a few river rescues that were challenging.
A river where?
Hanalei River. There was the 2018 flood. You know, we were involved with that,
yes.
You know, pretty heavily. You know, doing nighttime rescues on the skis and paddling people on rescue boards. And we had a rescue a few years ago. Some kayakers got, they hoolied their kayak during a flash flood and, you know, trapped. And it was interesting because the perspective that I had versus, and I was driving, then the guy in the back was completely different.
And really?
Yeah. You know, we were both there the same, doing the same thing-ish, but our perspectives were totally different. You know, or he was just like, oh, it's kind of nuts, but not that bad. And when we talked about it later, he's like, well, I didn't really think about that, you know, because being a ski operator, there's versus being a guy in the back or crew member, you have to see the bigger picture. You know, so it's not just my actions. It's like, how is my actions going to affect not just my partner, who's the most important, the people we're trying to rescue, you know, so it's like a four-dimensional chess move. So it's, you're really trying to see the bigger picture. Whereas a crew member, grabber on the back, you're grab and go, like, okay, get dropped off, I'm going to swim in, I'm going to grab his people. I did that for a long time, and that's, I give those guys credit, because it's scary. You get dropped off into some heavy spots. I mean, probably one of my first rescues that baptized me on Kauai, the Two-Door Cave. This boat went in the Two-Door Cave down the Nepali coast.
Yes.
And they flipped. There was four people on it. They happened to get a flare. They climbed up the back of the rocks, and they shot a flare out at one of the passing boats. I just happened to be down at the tower that day. The call came in, like, a kayaker in distress down the Nepali. I responded with Mark McCamey, the operator at the time, and we went down there, and we had this plan. He's like, hey, Pico, I'm going to drop you off, and you're going to swim in and check it out, and, you know, and then we'll start swimming people out. So I swim in, and I turn around, and the people start pointing, and I look, and this wave closes out the mouth of the cave. And so we hadn't really trained for something like that, so you don't know how you're going to be in that situation or how I was going to handle. So I swam into the first wave, and I pop up, and I'm like, oh, my God, okay. And then there's two more. And then after the third one, I look, and the jet ski's floating there. And my partner was yelling at me to get on the jet ski. And so I swim over, get on the jet ski, start it up, and he's yelling at me because there's another wave coming. I'm trying to, like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, trying to get this, you know, lanyard and, you know, the whole, like, slowest, smoothest, fast, trying to, like, stay calm and get this jet ski started, grab him, and we're like, we go out, and we're like, okay, let's try that again. This time I make it into the beach, and I said, you know, hey, guys, you know, this is what we're going to do. Like, you know, we can go to ladies first, guy, girl, however you want to do this, but, you know. Turns out that one of the girls was pregnant. We do the ama crab, you know, the black crabs on the rocks. You know, they get close to the water, so there's, you know, the surf in between the big sets. We would get as close as we can to the water and then wait and kind of get pounded, you know, like let the waves wash over us. And I had her, tubed her. And as I was coming down, I see the jet ski coming in, and Gavin Kennelly's on the back. I'm like, psyched. Gavin's here. Gavin's my hero. And little technical difficulties. My daughter's here. Figure out Bluey. Those are real world issues. So I load the girl onto the ski, and Gavin jumps off, and I'm just like, great, that's one less person. And it just so happened Gavin was down at Apollo with his dad and I think the producer for Blue Crush at the time. And so we traded off. So he went in, and we just repeated, and we swam out four people. And, you know, and, like, it was scary because, like, when the waves come in, they close out the cave. And I don't know, the top of the cave is, I don't know, 20 feet maybe or so, maybe bigger. I don't think there's a whole lot of things that are more scary than, like, being in the cave in the dark by yourself.
Right.
You know, it's just a lot of mental toughness or just physical, whatever it is, right? You're just like. You know.
So was that a situation where people should not have been out in the ocean in those times?
No, so the lesson learned in that one is when you're down the Nepali, if you go through the caves, like that one, there's two sides. Check both sides and wait. You know, it's like when you go down to the beach and you look at the ocean, watch it for like 20 minutes. You know, is there a bigger set? You know, where are the waves breaking? That was one of the lessons learned, is just check both sides.
What do you mean by check both sides?
So there's two sides of the cave. It's a two-door cave. So you go in one and come out the other. There is a west side, like a Kalalau side. And because of the direction of the swell, it was focusing more on that side, on the west side. And when we came in on the Hanalei side, it wasn't really showing. And so we came in and we're like, oh, this is great. I think a lot of our rescues.
So they had capsized in there?
They flipped, yep. They came in on the Hanalei side, like most people do, and they flipped going around the corner. And
how would they check if they couldn't see the other side?
You just, from the outside, just, you know, a lot of people either, they drive by the cave. It's,
right.
Waiahuaku was the name of the valley. It's the 5-mile valley down the Nepali coast.
Right.
So you can, you know, there's a waterfall that comes. It's really beautiful. It's Waiakua is water that comes from the cape or cloak of the gods. And I could be butchering it, but a lot of times the top of the mountain is enshrouded in clouds, so you can't see the top of it. So the waterfall comes down and it hits this puka in the cave and, you know, shoots off, and it's beautiful. It's just beautiful. And a lot of times the light shining through, it's just, you know, Nepali is a magical spot.
So what you're saying is the beaches aren't just the treacherous places all up the coast. Nepali coast can be very treacherous.
Correct. Yeah. And coincidentally, you asked me, like, why do I do this? It's, you know, what kind of got me started. And there is this rescue. I was probably 16, 17 down the Nepali coast. Same situation. a tour boat went in there, and I was a crew guy for Captain Zodiac. It was the tour boats that ran in the 80s and early 90s. A lot of the watermen that I looked up to worked for those guys as captains. I mean, Uncle Titus was a lifeguard. I think Laird was a crew, maybe. I'm not sure. I know Sam Lee. What happened was the tour boat went in. They capsized, and we were doing tours down there, and we basically just waited for that. We tried to, like, one of our crew guys swam in, and his eyes came out huge because it was the same exact situation. Waves are breaking, closing out the mouth, and the fire guys came down. I remember watching Alki go in and grab guys, you know, before the jet ski, but, and I was just like, that's what I want to do when I grow up or get older, right? You know, it piqued my interest is as far as, like, life-saving or helping people. And we'd always do rescues and things like that just because the frequency of how much we were down the Nepali, whether it was like,
right,
you know, like a sprained ankle or, you know, people getting sucked out of Hanakapiai. And, you know, we just happened to be down there. So we did do a lot of rescues. Johnny Sarge was a huge influence, all that. And we're all, I think we took Pat Durkin's class. So we, you know, all lifeguarded skills. And
so just before we started, we were talking because we were getting Harper set up to watch her movie, and we were getting Wilson settled. We were talking about the Civil Beat article that came out about the number of residents and how that surprised even guards. And you told me a story about yourself. Do you want to share that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think one of the most scariest things about having a kid is having them around the ocean and around the water. When I was 3, I drowned. I was riding my tricycle around the pool in Kaneohe and at my grandparents, and either my mom or dad are like, hey, where's Chris? They're like, oh, I don't know. And they look, and I was at the bottom of the pool. I was at 3 feet. You know, my tricycle, I guess, went over, and my grandpa jumped in. I was unresponsive, gave me CPR, and brought me back. It's wild to think of my life right now, and that's kind of like the whole circle. But yeah, it's scary. I mean, I see some incredible dads out there. I see how attentive they are. And before even having kids, that was one of my biggest pet peeves is just people neglecting their kids. It's like they're out reading a paper book and they're at the beach, and you're like, it's a dynamic environment. And, you know, even on seemingly calm days, kids can walk into a hole and that don't know how to swim or can barely swim. And a soft spot for it, even more so now with my daughter.
And it's a big issue for us in Hawaii.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah. I mean, there's people that don't know how to swim, that live here.
Correct.
It's crazy.
A huge amount.
Like even the kids, you know, to a certain age.
1 to 15. It's the major.
It was a scary article to read, honestly, like, because it really hit home, the reality of it and how real. And,
you know, the issue is still to get water safety in the schools and to get kids swimming lessons and having those available. And actually just water safety, how to float would be a good start, or anything that Pat had taught in his water safety classes.
Yeah. I think when I was second grade or third grade, they taught, like, it was air quotes, drown proofing in up here in Princeville. And they, you know, think the idea, like, they teach you a little bit of treading water, and, you know, you take your shorts or pants off and tie it in a knot. And,
yes.
You know, how to, like, tread water, scissor kicks and bicycle kicks. And
where did you do that?
Right here in Princeville, the Princeville pool. It was through the school, and that was huge. I mean,
we need to have more access to pools for young children to teach them.
That would be great.
Well, we now have swim lessons right at Kapa'a and Waimea, and then Swim for Free is happening at the Kauai High School pool.
Oh,
if you're aware of that. That's a
awesome.
Brand new program that the Kauai Lifeguard Association started with Kurt Colby. It's going to run for the next 3 months, I guess. But those are important issues that we need to continue to let people know that, you know, eyes up and phones down. But getting to the next issue, which you are a technological advocate, now you can tell us about what you have done for us as a community in a application called Pulse Point. How you got this available for us on Kauai, and how it works and how people can use it.
So Pulse Point, it's a 911 activated app that notifies users of cardiac emergencies nearby. So if there's someone having a heart attack, it notifies users of a cardiac emergency nearby. It also will let you know where there's a nearest AED. I'd heard about it from a lifeguard on Oahu. You know, he was telling me about it. And so, you know, so what I did was I did a lot of homework, and the groundwork for it was the idea behind it. So I found out as much information as I could and started to try and raise money and awareness for it. And to back up a little bit, you know, in the homework that I was doing, I found out that, and this is not a knock at our department, it's just the reality of where we live on Kauai, that our response time for EMS is between 7 and 20 minutes. And I'll just use Station 1 in Hanalei as an example.
Yeah.
So they cover North Ko'olau Road to Napali. If they're tied up on a call, you have to wait for Kaikia, which is in Kealia, to respond. So
it's a long way.
It could be upwards of 45 minutes to response. Your survivability for a CPR cardiac emergency, after 3 minutes, it starts to drop. We live in Waniha. My daughter was, I don't know, one-ish at the time when we started this. And so not selfishly, but kind of, sort of, it's, you know, it really hit home. It's like, if something were to happen and I'm not home, you know, it'd be great if somebody could help. And this app enables people, it enables first responders to get people's address. And my best friends, who are all firemen, they live right next to me, which is killer. I mean,
right.
You know, it's like being a kid again, right? Your friends are right down the street. I can walk down and see if they're home. But the reality is, too, is like, if something happens to Harper, you know, it's great having that network. And you can use that island-wide. And what this app does is it builds stronger communities. And that's the whole goal behind it.
Right.
You know, it's just building these more resilient communities. Whether you live in Kalaheo, I was talking to somebody about that, and they're like, well, I live in Kalaheo. I was checking the AED. Kalaheo, their fire station covers Station 3. So you got to wait for Hanapepe to cover.
Wow.
I mean, that's just where we live. With this app too, there's three levels to it. There's three versions of it, I guess. The layperson, they get it. And some people are like, oh my gosh, I don't know CPR. I'm afraid of the AED. Look, we teach first aid and CPR to third graders. The AED, I mean, like, even lifeguards can use it. I mean, I kind of joke about it, but it's really straightforward.
Right.
It talks to you. There's three versions. There's your layperson. There's your doctors and nurses. And what they'll get is they'll get someone's home address and also the public area. So, like, you'll only get alerted if there's a, like, you'll only be able to see, like, ocean rescue at Hanalei or,
right,
like, CPR at Waiole Beach Park or something like that, right?
But, well, if I pull it up on mine, because I have the app and I've told everybody to have it.
Yes, that's...
And you're right, it's a community effort to having a resource like that.
Yeah, and then you like the other side, and then you also have your lifeguards, firemen, EMS guys, your EMTs, and they'll get alerted to your home address, and they'll see like the CAD notes. It's an amazing app, and it's just in places where it's really popular, you see the response time for postpartum responders, it's like 3 minutes. It's been around for a while, and the more people that use it, the better off we are. I just don't know. Think everybody knows about it, unfortunately.
And that's what you were saying.
And our chief Gibson, he was, even from the get-go, when he found out and was like, hey, if you want to like pursue this app, you know, I'll back you 100%, which is really cool. And he just said, yeah, like, you know, I support this. I think it's a good thing. So back to that, it was like when these doctors were like, yeah, we, you know, we would like to get involved. So we gave them the okay to, you know, be a registered responder. And that's the one just below we are.
Well, nurse. That's really, you know, it's just really important. And with this show, hopefully we can get more people understanding it. You're also involved in doing CPR for the community, which is also, you said you've done that with Hanalei Initiative.
Hanalei Initiative is another, I'm glad you brought that up, because they're Joel guys, and they're, back right. when we were trying to get funding for it, $20,500 total. And then each year it's a subscription of $10,000. And, you know, at the time I'm like, oh my God, that's so much money, right? I mean, it's still a lot of money, but I think the county spends more in phone bills than they do in that. And then if this app can save somebody's life, just one.
That's right.
How do you quantify that? My neighbor showed up and saved my daughter's life? Jesus.
Yep.
I mean,
that's exactly right. So do you have the AEDs identified now?
I do. And which is really cool because when we first started promoting this app, or before we launched it, we went around and we checked out all the AEDs that were located on the app. And we also added some that weren't. I think when we started, there was like 30. Now there's 130 island-wide. I mean, that's...
Wow.
And there's so many more out there that I haven't checked. You know, we're looking to... I know...
Did you get Honolulu Canoe Club? We have one.
I did. Yes, I did. You guys... Yeah. I saw that and I'm like, oh, God, cool. So there's... Like, I was just at Lowai Beach Resort recently. They have, I believe, 6. We added that. So, you know, call comes in, you'll see it on your app. Like, oh, boom, there's a cardiac emergency here. And there's an AED here. There's
wow.
all these registered responders. But I'm trying to get more businesses. I know there's businesses out there and hotels and places like that that have them. We just haven't registered them yet. And, you know, spots like Honolulu Bay Resort or uh-huh. The One, and, you know, places like that where it's just you have such a, like, a high traffic of locals and residents. I know that, you know, and so if something were to happen, say, at the pool, I know that down at Poipu, they had a CPR at one of the pools. Their security and somebody else, they have AED right there by the restaurant.
Right.
They brought somebody back. They were, you know, and it was cool because while I was checking all these AEDs, I'm learning a lot about these different ones out there. Our department has the Philips, but there's so many more out there. So when I would show up and check one, I'm like, oh, I've never seen this one. They're like, we don't know anything about this. It was donated. I'm like, well, okay, cool. We're going to both walk through this so that you guys are more familiar with it. And a lot of humility, right? I'm not going to pretend to know something, but we can both learn it together. And I'm just here to, like, make sure that it works. And
but
make
Chris,
sure
maybe you could use the community to help you identify where all these AEDs are. I mean, we have canoe clubs and other organizations or volunteers that could just go to the hotels if you organize something like that. But Annie just asked me, who's sitting over here doing all the technical stuff for this show, how do you get the app?
It's a free app. You just go to, you can download it on the App Store, I think.
Right,
and it's free.
On the App Store.
It's
I have
free.
It.
So it's the county pays for it. You can download it. And the really cool thing, too, is that another unfortunate thing about Kauai is there's not a whole lot of ways to get information out there. You know, we have limited resources. So through this app, you know, I don't know how many times you've been stuck in traffic and, you know, and you're like, oh my God, what's going on? Well, if there's a car accident, you can check off what you
see that.
Yeah. What you want to get notified of, like whether it's brush fire,
right.
Car accident, and it shows up like ways. It'll be like, oh, red here, yellow, green, red, you know, green, yellow, whatever, right? So you're just like, cool, the traffic's moving, it's not moving, alternate.
But anybody can get it.
Anybody can get it.
I've given it to everybody
free.
To use. It's
yeah.
really nice, and people will say, oh, there was a, you know, a rescue here at Honolulu Bay. There was this going on. They can't actually.
So let me get something straight. Pulse.
Yes.
Pulse Point is an app that anyone can put on their phone on Kauai or
yes.
elsewhere, and it'll give you the particular dangers and hazards that are happening right now.
Correct.
And if you are someone that's qualified to help in this, you can show up and go, hey, I know how to use this AED machine. I'm here to save someone's life.
Yeah.
Because there is a response time of 40 minutes to get to where you are right now or more based on the traffic or anything.
Right. It's 7 to 20 is the average.
Okay. And so I can look at all these hazards and go, oh my God, this is happening. And that is how we're building stronger communities, because it empowers more people to know more things
yes.
and get.
Yes.
Okay.
It's got how to CPR. It's got how to AED on there. It's
yes.
got a link to like American Red Cross, which is like
right.
a killer organization they've got. And I use it all the time when I'm traveling, because you can use it offline. You know, a lot of what we do, and I was talking with a friend about this yesterday, a lot of what we do is perishable. All our skill set is perishable, from your basic first aid to rescues to jet ski stuff. And, you know, it's this big, not as big as the fire department, but like a big skill set. And so if you don't
right.
use it, you lose it. Well, you're not as sharp as you need to be. Mm-hmm. This app, it's got the how to, it's even got like the metronome on it, right? It'll, the TikTok, you know, it's an amazing thing. For me, I would give my number to my wife's number, you know, to my bosses and like, hey, if you can't get a hold of me, call these. But now that like, oh, he's on a rescue or, you know, there's traffic. So there's so much more that it can do. And we even have, it's even got this capability where we can send blast out. So for instance, this last one of the bridge closed. So what I did was, so I'm an administrator, I copy and pasted the National Weather Service link or, you know, their statement, and then also our PIO's the number or the what they wrote, and put it on Pulse Point and sent out like a news blast to all the users for an hour. So it's just basically said Honolulu Bridge closed till further notice, call alternate dispatch number. So it's, I mean, we can use that for high surf warning, whatever it is. And it's just another way to get information out there. And when I talk to people about it, they're like, oh my God, you did that. And I'm like, yes, but there should be somebody that can, you know, so now we have people that can do that, but it's got so many other things that it's great for, not just the, not to sound bad, but like save lives. It's also like car accidents, or if you want to, you know, brush fires, this is a big thing, and especially coming up.
Yep.
It's got that, house fires, flooding.
That's very good, Chris.
It's got a lot, and it's...
Thank you.
No, it's, I'm just grateful for the opportunity, honestly. Like, you know, a lot of the support, and I'm only doing this because I had the opportunity through our department, and they let me.
So Annie's going to get everyone at KKCR on Pulse Point.
Yeah. Oh my God. And so you can download this free app wherever you get apps.
Yes.
And it's Pulse Point.
Pulse Point. Yeah.
Just Pulse Point. It's a heart. And then if someone on Kauai has an AED, how would they let someone know so they can be added to Pulse Point?
They can either let our department know and they can get a hold of me, or I think if you just Kauai Fire Department.
I'll find that number.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to find that at kkcr.org, too. So if you've got an AED machine, we can add it to Pulse Point, and you can be make us a better, more supportive community.
They'll contact me, and I'll happily go and, you know, go do that. It's, because, you know, like I said, there's 130. I know there's more out there.
Yeah.
And if there's not, there should be, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Well, you have another project.
We do.
First responder.
So
this is great. Tell our listeners about this.
Yeah. So we're working through the fire department and getting help with Honolulu Initiative, and it ties into Pulse Point, but it's getting, we call them individual first aid kits or IFAC kits. And the idea is that if somebody responds, they have the tools necessary to save a life. So the goal is to get 200 kits. That's, I think we have something like roughly 70 lifeguards and 130 or 100 something firemen. And just start with them and get them these first aid kits, like Stop the Bleed, a pocket mask, BVM. We're trying to raise money right now for that. I know a few of our lifeguards had shown up to a CPR, and they're like, you know, they were surfing and they came out of the water. And so it's just giving somebody the tools that they need to help.
To carry in their car.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it ties into Pulse Point. Great. If you, you know, you get your Pulse Point alert, it's cardiac emergency, you have that opportunity, you have that ability to, with the tools necessary to help somebody. If you're at home and your daughter needs, you know, gets cut really bad, or your wife or some of your family members, you know, or you're driving down the road, I mean, most of us do this job because we care about it. We want to make a difference. We want to help people. That's, I think, the bread and butter of why we do it. And this is just another opportunity to help people. So,
I think it's a great project.
Yeah, we're working on it, and I mean, this is kind of an expensive one. So, hopefully, we can figure that out. And it'd be great, you know, to get more. Was just started with firemen and lifeguards, and kind of go from there and see how it works. But I just think that it helps out with community resilience.
Yes.
I mean, we all saw like how, I was just going to say like how vulnerable we are. I mean, even after the flood, you know, the Honolulu thing, or, you know, you could be cut off for a while. And it's just right now since Pulse Point has started, we have Kauai Fire Department, Kauai Police Department, PMRF, Crash Fire, AMR, all the EMTs. We've got the health department, a big support from the health department. Big list of people, you know, working on getting, like I said, the doctors involved, some of the nurses. I've talked to people at KVMH and Mahilona and then Wilcox as well. And so it's just, the idea is just to, you know, from where we started, you know, we just did like this little like soft thing, and the guys, you know, the doe care guys, you know, Dylan and I, they heard about it and they're like, oh my God, that thing's killer. Like, can we get it? And we're like, yeah, of course. Like, it just, the more people, the better. Let's just build a stronger network through our island and, you know, be able to.
That's pretty excellent, Chris.
So I'm happy to, that it's
But
working.
If we get back to drownings, and drowning is preventable, is there anything you want to say to our listeners, whether they're visitors or residents, how to stay safe? And because when we had Mayor Kawakami on here, one of his issues was that we haven't got the messaging right, because people aren't listening to us.
Right. I'm only laughing because we talked about some of the rescues, but I think some of the hardest parts of our job is interacting with people. It's, you know, your Jedi mind tricks. How do I talk to you versus you? And most of our guards look, as old as they are, look pretty young. It's just the nature of it, you know. That interaction with people and engaging them is a big thing. And just educating them.
Right.
Whether you live here or not, we're observational specialists. It's kind of like we joke about it a little bit. You know, so we're eyeing you up as soon as you walk through the park, right? Talk to you, hopefully.
Do you mind people coming up to
No, the... I would love to answer questions all day long versus doing rescues. And the rescues, like I said, are fun. One of my biggest things is that gets me is just that not getting there quick enough, and I don't like that. I hate it when people are screaming for help. You know, maybe keeps me up at night a little bit, but just because I'm like, oh, I could have prevented that. And you can't prevent everything. You know, you can do your best.
Do you think we need more guarded beaches?
We need more guards.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it'd be great to have a guarded, you know, tower at the pier. Last winter, let's just say anything above 6 feet, everywhere shut down, probably in Ini too. So you're sending everybody to Hanalei, or, you know, even KA is shutting people down. You're sending everybody to the pier. We're at Pavilion with a jet ski, maybe sometimes just two of us, and we watch down there, and that's 700-800 yards away.
Right.
So if the majority of people on our shore are going to the pier, and we're spending my whole day, even if nothing happens, you're hypervigilant. You just have this, like, hyper-aware of what's happening, or trying to scan everything, you know, from near shore to guys getting flush at the pier. Sometimes we put the jet ski in the water. Sometimes we don't have the staffing. So you just spend your whole day just like, well, you know, this is...
Are there any really key areas of any of these beaches that you think our listeners should know about that makes it treacherous?
Yeah. Queen's Bath, definitely like a hot spot for us. Lumahai, you know, River Mouth Side. It's just anytime you have a fixed, you know, something like a river mouth, you're always going to have rips down there, no matter what. I mean, I've rescued local kids who got flushed after doing stationaries and they get flushed out, or that's another spot, Lumahai with a river mouth, because there's always going to be current there. There's no lifeguard. We have the ski at Pavilion most of the time, and we can get there in like a minute and a half, 3 minutes maybe, which is right. We were talking about it earlier. It's right on the cusp of survivability. Back channel in Ini is a hot spot for us. Anything above 6 feet, 8 feet or so. We have lifeguards at Ini, which is killer. And they do their best, we still get rescues down there because it's, you know, I equate it to a car accident. Most people are good drivers, right? So most people are, you know, good swimmers, fair swimmers. They can do all right. The X factor is somebody else, the rip current. You know, it's more mechanics of it. You know, they say, like, there's this book, A Rescue in Paradise. This guy from Hawaii Kai wrote it. And he talks about some of the notable rescues. And Mark Spitz got rescued on Oahu. I mean, that'd be like Olympic swimmer. Yeah, Olympic swimmer is like 3-time, 6-time Olympics champ. It'd be like Phelps getting rescued, right? And you're like, oh, that guy's a champ, and he got rescued. So it's more mechanics, and that's a deceptive thing for people to see. Or you know, you have local kids who boogie board, and they play in the rips, and they play in the reform, and the visitors who don't know anything, they come down and jump in the ocean. So encourage people to come at our guarded beaches.
Right.
You know, come swim at our guarded beaches. And come, you know, most of us are nice, and probably why I do a lot of hiking, you know, because you spend a lot of energy talking to people, and I love it. But it's just come and talk to us. And you guys are here on vacation. We want you to have that experience. Have that killer, oh, I want to go snorkeling. I want to go surfing. You know, we want you to have that
and come talk to you about where you should be doing.
Yeah, we'll set you up for success. It's a big thing. There's 8-10 lifeguards. You know, there's a bunch of towers around the island. So right now is the south side's kind of popping off with some surf. There's a little bit of surf on the north shore down at like Waioli River mouth, and enough to get wet and have fun. You don't need much. And there's lifeguards down there. Go talk to Josh down at Pine Trees. You know, Josh is one of our nicest lifeguards that we have.
I think they're all nice.
No, yeah, everyone's nice. Yeah, they're... when I first got hired, they said, you know, we're ambassadors of Aloha. That's what, and I think Duke Kahanamoku said that too as well.
Yes.
And that couldn't be more true, right? So you try and engage people. And back to like, hey, maybe somebody's dealing with something you don't know about. And so just your friendly, hey, how are you doing? Can change their day, change their life. I mean, you know, they might open up to you. Who knows? You can just make a difference without even really knowing it. It doesn't have to be getting wet.
That's really good information, Chris. I don't know what to say enough about what you've done over the decades here, because I've seen all this list of rescues when I looked you up. Just recently, the one you talked about in the Honolulu River, and then one you did with Chad and Anini with four people, I think,
oh,
at one point, saved their lives. It's really important for our listeners to understand that the lifeguards really are here and risk their lives for us and are here as ambassadors of Aloha, like Chris said. I think we're just like really excited to have you here to share it, because with you and Chad on this show today, it really talks about who's really at the crux of water safety, and it's Ocean Safety Bureau and the guards. So,
Daddy.
And you have a family, Harper, so I really appreciate you bringing her in also. Is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners about?
There's classes out there. There's the Kauai Department. They teach CPR and first aid to communities.
Right.
And they, you know, one of the biggest things, and we were talking about it before we went on air, is there's this, the Lifeguard Project. I forget the guy's name, but he's had some amazing guests on board. And what they do, one of the guys he had recently was, lately you'll hear more push for hands-only CPR. And that's because that through the previous classes, there's a lot of emphasis on the steps that you have to take. You know, so you see somebody unresponsive, or they're laying down on the ground, you're like, tap them. Are they okay? Hey, are you okay? Look, listen, feel, 3 to 5 seconds. And retilt, there's all these steps, right? And that's time you're not wasting, but one of the pushes now is just to hands on the CPR. If you see somebody laying on the ground, you're like, hey, but are you okay? Tap them and start compressions. And if they come back, great. And if not, then at least you've started compressions. I think it's like, I'm going to butcher this, but I should know it. It's like 7 to 10 seconds of it takes to get your heart primed. So at work, we do high performance CPR where we are nonstop compressions. And every like 8-10 seconds, we do a breath. So you're not stopping, you know, and you rotate. And once we hook the AED up, early AED, early CPR,
right,
it saves lives. And so this guy on the podcast, the Lifeguard Project, he talks about it, but he also mentions that like in an aquatic environment, breaths are equally important. So for us to bring people out of the water, that's why our heart performance is really, really important too. You guys, the layperson, back to where, you know, kind of mentioned earlier, it's just, it's so simple. We're teaching it to third graders. It was really cool. I was fortunate to be at a class. I part of the CPR cadre for the fire department. And these guys, the way they teach these kids and grab their attention. So we had these kids who were little kolohe kids, little troublemakers, and they're not paying attention. So the instructor says, hey, how many people you guys live like 3 minutes away from the fire department? Raise your hand. Goes up to like 20, right? So he says, you know, if your tutu, your uncle, your dad, your sister, somebody drops and they're outside of 3 minutes, their survivability starts to drop and you see the class turn around. And these are third graders, right? So they start to listen, and now they're in line, we're teaching them hands-only CPR, teaching them how to hook the AED up. Hey, you know, my dad dropped. Hey, you call 911. Where are you at? You know, they teach them these landmarks. Just know where you're at. If you don't know, like, I'm by Kapaa School. I'm by the school. I'm at this school. I'm in the cafeteria. You know, where's the AEDs? Okay, it's right there. So it was really cool to see that and just be part of it. These instructors that, you know, in our department are, you know, we have instructors in the ocean safety too that could teach it.
Right.
You know, so it's.
But is it consistent across all the schools, do you know?
They teach schools island-wide. And I don't know the levels. I know it's like third, maybe fifth. You know, it's all these like, and then maybe like the senior, you know, it kind of goes up and then your seniors and stuff like that. I mean, we had some lady a few days ago. They were grouchy that their junior guards were down to the beach and they were here on vacation. They were retired. And I talked to them later about it and they were really sweet. They're PE teachers and, you know, they just wanted to go to the beach. And I said, look, you know, at one point I'm like, my first CPR was when I was 16. And so that's just something we're teaching to help save lives. And they were really sweet, you know, but that's the reality of where we're at.
Right.
You know, you could be hiking and go to one of our remote beaches and somebody gets sucked out. I know there's rescue tubes through Quiet Lifeguard Association.
Right.
Great program. You know, that's saved countless lives. I mean, so.
In those remote areas.
Yeah. You know, back channel in Ini, Hanakapiai, Queen's Bath, you know, on those spots. Sometimes people will jump in. Sometimes we'll just throw them the tube. Even for us, like when we go out on the jet ski and I'm like, if I can't grab you, I'm not going to send you in there. It's not worth it. I'm sorry that's just an unfortunate situation. And we train in some heavy conditions, but it's kind of, it's a risk versus reward thing where the reality of where we're at, and that's back to being the operator, you're making those big decisions or you can discuss it like, hey, what do you think? How do you feel about this rescue? You know, it's collective problem solving.
Right.
So we communicate a lot between, you know, operator and crew member or tower to tower, guard to guard, and you know, and if same thing goes to like the layperson or somebody on vacation, if you look snarly and you don't feel comfortable, just call 911, tell them where you're at, throw the tube if there's one around.
Right.
Keep contact on that person.
Yeah.
When we show up, hey, where did you last see him?
Exactly.
You know, so these are all.
Mommy.
Hold you? I would love to hold you, sweetheart.
Well, Chris, that was really good information. I don't even know what to say. Is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners? I mean, guarded beaches, don't go in these areas like Queen's Bath and Lumahai and Back Channel, and go talk to the lifeguards because they have all the information.
Yeah, that's
about how to have a safe vacation.
Yeah, come even like yes, Wilson. Even you know, a good restaurant or something like that. It's local knowledge, right? It's like.
Harper, thank you for coming.
Hey, sweetheart. Can you say
thank
you?
Can you say goodbye? In the microphone?
You being shy. Can you say goodbye? Wilson's saying goodbye.
You've been very patient, Harper, while we talked and your dad talked to us.